My number one piece of advice is always to set a goal. What outcome are you hoping for as a result of your efforts on social media? Because that will help you as you are generating content or as you are running ads on social, that will help you determine whether you're having success or not. Or that will help you determine what types of content to create and to actually invest in advertising dollars.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one to self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Hannah Acosta. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Hannah. One, she is the social media manager of Ugly Mug Marketing, a memorable name. And two, Hannah has launched over 5,000 social media campaigns. And three, she has helped generate over 25,000 leads for her clients. Gee, I could use a few new leads if you've got some to throw my way. Hannah Acosta, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you so much, George. I'm excited to be here.
Delighted to be talking with you. And you know, with a name like Ugly Mug, you've got to be a good marketer to make up for the jokes you must get. Hannah, how does one, and let's just address that last point. Is social media a valid way to generate business leads?
Yes, it can be an incredibly lucrative way to generate business leads. More importantly, generating qualified business leads. I know that there are a lot of agencies and a lot of methods out there that are like, hey, we can help you generate 100 leads in 24 hours or have all these, you know, crazy claims to fame, right? But then when we sign up for those things or we partake in those methods, we find that yeah, that's great. They got me 100 new people on my email list, or they helped me get 100 new HVAC clients, but those people didn't actually convert. Or those people said that they didn't actually want to opt in for my product or service. So they didn't actually want to be on my email list. And so it's really important, and we can dive into this later, but it's really important to know who specifically our target audience is so that we can create an offer that is really appealing and enticing to them and utilize that offer on social media in order to get them on our email list or get them to become a paying customer with our business.
And social media, is it a matter of posting content or is it reaching out to current contacts or new contacts? What's the best approach?
Yeah, it's really a blend of both. At Ugly Mug Marketing, we talk a lot about the natural progression to our clients. So the natural progression is this idea of moving people from stranger to friend to customer and ultimately to an evangelist. An evangelist is somebody who is going to rant and rave about your product or service or about your podcast, and they're going to go and tell all of their friends and family about how they need to experience your product or service, right? And that's ultimately our goal as business owners, as entrepreneurs. We want to create evangelists for our business. I hear time and time again from our clients that referrals are their best clients, right? If they get a referral, it's so much easier to sell to someone when they've been recommended or they've talked with a friend or a family member, or another business owner or colleague about why your product or service is the best for them. And so when we approach social media, it's about maintaining the relationship with our existing customers to get them to feel like we really care about them outside of just that exchange of money, right? A lot of people think that that journey ends once someone becomes a paying customer, but that's really just the beginning of it because we want to try and get that referral. We want to get them to rant and rave so that they become an evangelist because that takes a step out of the progression for us. once someone becomes an evangelist, they're much more likely to recommend our product or service to their friends and family. So we have to do less work in that stranger area of the progression. We can get people connected and become our friends quicker. We can get them to engage with our content, or we can get them to share our posts or to visit our website. That might be the first step in our friendship, right? When we're thinking about moving people along that cycle. It can be a little bit more challenging to move those strangers into friends. I find that that's where we spend a lot of our time trying to get those people who don't know about us but should know about us into that friend zone so that we can then get them to move and convert into a customer. So it is a blend of both. You are always going to be trying to find new customers, but I find that when we engage with those current customers and try and move them into an evangelist, we're able to find more people that look like them. We're able to create better experiences for them so that they tell their friends and family about us.
Hannah, what I'm hearing there, and tell me if I've got this right. So I'm hearing the goal isn't just to get customers, but the goal is to get evangelists out there ranting and raving and talking how great we are so that everything else, the whole wheel, works easier for us.
Yes, exactly. And the movement from customer to evangelist really happens outside of our traditional marketing methods too. So it's about creating an experience for them. It's about making sure that if we are an e-commerce website, that their experience from the time that they see our ad on Facebook or on Instagram to actually clicking, navigating to our website, adding to cart, checking out, shipping times, their product arrived on time, their product was neatly packaged, it wasn't damaged or anything like that. Maybe there was a nice handwritten note. All of those little things contribute to creating an evangelist. It's not just that we're going to create evangelists simply using social media. That's our first step and tool that we can use. That can be a part of the overall strategy. But that evangelist, you know, that requires, or that movement from customer to evangelist requires a little bit of additional effort and a little creativity on our business's side.
So the important stage in creating the evangelist, is that in the product or service delivery itself?
Yes, I would say so. And really can come after the fact too. So even after the product has been delivered, utilizing social media to stay engaged with them, even making sure that we're following our customers on social media. And Instagram is a really fun, great place for us to engage with our customers. So for example, there is a company that is called Chubbies. They are a swimsuit and shorts and apparel clothing company. I absolutely love to talk about them because I always feel like they're doing marketing and social media right. What Chubbies is really good at is they're going out and engaging with their followers. They're not waiting on the followers to engage with their content. So after someone makes a purchase, if they post, hey, here's my family in their new Chubbies swim trunks or their matching swimsuits, and we're heading to the beach this summer, Chubbies does a really great job of going and commenting on that content or sharing that content back onto their page. They're not necessarily worried about having this really aesthetically pleasing Instagram feed, for example. They're more concerned with making their customers feel special. And I have found over time working with a ton of different brands and different companies in various industries that the more we can make our customers feel special and make them feel really important, the more likely they are to become an evangelist. So it makes those Chubbies customers feel so special when they see their family featured on the Instagram page, or when Chubbies goes and comments and says, hope you guys have the best time ever in the Outer Banks in North Carolina or wherever they might be traveling to. Those little additional touches using social can be really crucial too.
So in this case, Chubbies. So somebody at Chubbies or doing work for Chubbies is keeping an eye, scanning the social media for their tags or mentions and then responding to it.
Yes, yes. And that is invaluable. Like, we have to be willing to do that as business owners or as entrepreneurs, as the marketing team within a company. We have to be willing, again, to do that little extra legwork and go out to our followers' pages and interact with them there rather than just waiting for them to come to us.
So that suggests that we need to pay attention to the conversations our customers are having about us. And these days, they're having the conversation on social media. So that's where we need to be listening.
Yes, that's exactly right, George. Like I tell my people all the time, guys, we need to know who your target audience is. We need to know who those current customers are. We need to study them so that we can enter into the conversation that's already taking place, right? It's so much, you know, you think about when you're in elementary school or when you're in middle school and you're making new friends and you want to go and sit with someone new, right? You're nervous. But it's a lot easier when you already know what they're talking about and you can already engage in that conversation rather than showing up and talking about something that's completely off the wall, right? Something that they're not talking about or that they don't find interesting. It makes it a lot easier to make them be your friend. And that's the same thing that applies to social media. We have to enter into that conversation that's already taking place with our customers, whether they're on the hunt for swimsuits for that match for the entire family or for their kids or for their husband and their son or whatever it may be. We want to know that that's what they're looking for. We want to know that they're going on vacation. And maybe we create content that isn't just about why our swimsuits are the best swimsuits that they should have. We want to create content that's about, hey, look at these top five beach vacations, affordable beach vacations for you and your family to go on. We want to talk about things that are adjacent to the conversation that's already, again, taking place with our customers. And those can be really helpful tips and great additional educational content to include in our strategy, because everybody who owns a company or works for a company, you know why your product is so great or why your service is so great. You could talk about it all day long, right? But we have to convince other people. We have to know what's important to them in order to get them to buy in to why our company is so great. And that means that all of our content can't be, hey, buy my stuff, sale on this. You know, that can't be our entire strategy. We have to have some additional resources, some additional content, maybe partner with other brands who also serve the demographic that we're after. You know, we have to be willing to collaborate a little bit and have things outside of just that typical sales content or just those typical sales advertisements too.
So it's okay and it's necessary to post our content. And what should our content look like?
Yes, our content should, first of all, it should be consistent. That is always my first tip to clients when we start working with them or when we're doing webinars or consulting with people. I don't ever want a company to set some sort of audacious goal that their team just isn't going to be able to reach. So for example, if you are like, hey, you know, Joe Schmo company down the road, that's our competitor, they're posting 7 times a day. Well, if you guys can't post 7 times a day, we don't need to try and keep up with them right now, right? We can supplement with some advertising potentially to try and keep up our engagement. But if it's only realistic right now for us to be posting 3 times a week, let's say Monday, Wednesday, Friday, then let's stick with that. Let's be consistent. Let's show up for our people. Let's let them know that we're going to be posting this content consistently. They know that we're going to be showing up on Instagram or on Facebook. And that's the other component too, is figuring out that target audience allows us to determine which platforms we need to be on, and then allows us to determine how often we want to show up on them. And with Facebook and Instagram, since those are all under the Meta umbrella, those are super easy for us to be able to schedule content in advance and to be able to do them all from Meta Business Suite. So we're not having to go and log into different accounts for scheduling purposes. It makes it really seamless. So be consistent, know who your people are so that you can talk to them too in a voice that actually relates to them. Again, entering into that conversation that's already taking place. And then my third tip on that note as well would be, again, mixing in content that isn't just sales. Are there other things that are happening in the conversations? Are they planning vacations? Can we provide a packing list that, yes, includes our Chubbies swimsuits, but maybe also includes our beach umbrellas or our favorite beach towels from, you know, another company that's of similar size to ours? Are there other things that we can incorporate in there? Because who knows, maybe that other company is going to share that with their people too, right? And then there's a little bit of buy-in there as well. So I think, you know, when we're putting together that social media strategy or we're creating that content, have to be willing to think outside of the box of, I'm just trying to get someone to purchase, right? I just want someone to buy this. I'm desperate. Like, we got to get away from that. It's about building the relationship on social media.
And what are some of the mistakes that people make with their content?
Ooh, people get really caught up on the aesthetics, I think, and the way that things look. And it is important to stay on brand, if you will, utilizing your logo, having, you know, your colors and all of that. But we don't want it to be overly curated on our Instagram feed or overly curated on our Facebook pages or even on LinkedIn. We still want there to be this very human, very natural, very organic feel to our content. So I think that that's one mistake that people are making. They're having these branded photo shoots, but they're leaving no room for any of those quick little behind the scenes moments or any of those iPhone pics. I mean, our iPhones take amazing pictures now these days. I mean, you can shoot in this cinematic mode on your phone and it blurs out the background. I mean, you basically look like a little mini videographer, right? So let's utilize that content as well. So over curation would be one mistake. The second mistake I touched on just before this, again, I can't stress it enough, mixing in different types of content outside of just those sales posts. Not every post needs to be have the intention of getting someone to make a purchase. It can just be, I want to educate them. I want to further the relationship with them. I want to work on moving them from stranger to friend or from friend to customer, or they've already bought with us. How can I get them to turn into an evangelist? Thinking about our content with the natural progression in mind.
Now, I wrote down the word educate, and I'm guessing, and tell me your impression of this, when someone is selling a service in a highly competitive, and almost all services are highly competitive, then educating might be a good venue, I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of my clients that I work with is a heating and cooling company. There's a heating and cooling company on every corner, right? Like there's tons of HVAC service people, you know, who could come and do a tune-up. But when we position ourselves as the experts, when we educate them on not things that are so high level, but maybe we're thinking about eighth grade level when we're writing the content or that educational content, I think that's really important too. When we simply say, hey, have you heard the term a SEER rating on your HVAC system? Do you know what that means? If you don't, here's what it means and here's why it's important. And if you have a question about your HVAC system SEER rating, give us a call today. It can be as simple as that, right? When we're like building something out, there's umpteen million questions that I could think of about HVAC systems. I'm a homeowner and I have tons of questions. So it's great that I'm writing this content because I'm not the quote unquote expert of HVAC, right? When the experts are thinking about the content, sometimes it's hard. They're like, oh, well, I know this and this is obvious. And of course you should know to change your filter every 30 days if you have a pet or 60 days if you don't have pets. Or of course there's different levels of types of filters. Some people don't know these things. The average person does not know these things. First-time home buyers may not know this type of information. And so when we're able to, again, relate to those people, educate them, answer questions that maybe they don't even know that they have, that can be so helpful, especially in service industries, because it can, again, set you apart, build that relationship, make people not feel dumb for having that question too, right? especially in the HVAC world. I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong with your heating and cooling system. So there could be tons of questions, or plumbing or electrical or any service kind of industry like that. And so I think the educational stuff is so important, especially in service. You're exactly right, George.
Not make people feel dumb. That resonated with me because when you are in the industry and you are the expert and you know everything inside out, it's easy to assume that everyone already knows this, but people don't. I remember once when I first got my motorcycle and I was at the shop buying oil, you know, to change the oil in the bike, and it was quite expensive. Now, I was used to buying oil for my car, but the oil for the motorcycle was a lot more expensive. And I commented to the man behind the counter, you know, I could go down to the auto shop and get oil. And he made a sarcastic comment that was criticizing that clearly I didn't understand how the motorcycle worked. Well, no, I didn't. And I felt insulted by that person. And that's not the way to do it. Maybe I was silly. I should have known, but I didn't.
No. And so many people are in that boat when they are making a purchase of something, especially like a motorcycle. That's a high ticket item, right? But if you're a first time motorcycle owner, how would you know that? What would you do? My husband and I were just reflecting on one of the first times we took our boat out and we were like, because we got it back out on the water this weekend and we're like, wow, we're so much more efficient. We have a system in place now. We know what we're doing when we get to the launch. We didn't know all of this before, right? But when we bought our boat, the people, the dealership, they were so kind. We told them, we're like, we have no clue what we're doing. We know that we want to have a boat. We know we like to be on the water. We've had fun when we're on other people's boats, but we've never owned a boat ourselves. They took the time. They had a little lake there at the dealership. They took the time to teach us how to back in the boat, how to take it, unclip it off of the trailer. They taught us how to use all of the switches and bells and whistles and depth finder and how to tell if we needed to get it serviced or an oil change, or here are some common things, that mistakes that people made. And it made us feel so much more confident too when we went out on the lake for the first time. And I think people sometimes feel embarrassed for asking like those simple questions, like, well, I could go down the road and get oil somewhere else. Well, I could go down the road and, you know, get my boat serviced or detail it myself at the car wash. Why can I not do that? Why do I need to come and bring it here? Why do I need to buy the oil here? We shouldn't make people feel that way. That's not going to help us get evangelists either, right? That's a part of that experience with the service is you're coming in, you have money, you're ready to be a paying customer. And then someone makes a sarcastic comment. That doesn't make us feel good, right? So it's really important, especially in service. Like, or if someone's coming into your brick and mortar store, that's a part of the experience too. Happy, friendly, ready to help employees who are going to be able to relate to the customer, answer those questions, make them feel more confident in their purchase, and help them in any way that they can.
And I can see all those points that dealership helped you with the boat. Those would all be at some point stressful for you, especially first two few times around going through those procedures. So now the dealership has reduced your stress.
Yes, they have. They've taken a huge weight off of our shoulders. They said, after we left, they go to the lake now. They're like, don't wait. We just walked through all this with you. They're like, don't wait until next weekend. Don't be scared. They're like, it's early in the morning. There won't be many people at the launch. They're like, go and practice now. And my husband and I got on the highway and we were driving and we were like, we could just go home and put the boat in the driveway. He was like, nope, we're going to do it. We're going to listen to Chatley's Marina. We're going to go. We're going to get off the exit. And you know what? We went, we learned a lot. We had a couple hiccups after the first time even, but it was just so much more encouraging. It made the process so much less stressful. But you know what? As people have come to us and say, oh, hey, where'd you get your boat from? Did you have a great experience? Yes, I had an amazing experience. The people were so friendly. Since then, when we've taken our boat back to get service, everything feels affordable. They explain exactly what they're going to do to our boat when we bring it in. We feel confident in them that they're going to do right by us. Yes, you need to, if you're buying a boat, you need to go to Chatley's. Like, we ran and raved. We're evangelists for them because of that entire experience. They treated us so kindly, and as first-time boat owners, I couldn't have asked for a better experience.
And Hannah, as you're talking there, I'm also thinking back to, you know, how do we generate content for social media? And what occurred to me is some of the categories might be, what are the questions that first-time owners, buyers ask, or more importantly, are afraid to ask? What are the myths that people have about these type of products or services? And so there's a way to generate content that's bound to resonate with people.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought up categories, because when we're thinking about how often we're going to post on social media, it can feel a little intimidating. So let's jump back to those 3 posts a week. Okay. That feels like a lot, maybe for us as a business owner, as a marketer for a company. It might feel like, ooh, okay, 3 posts a week, that's about 12 posts a month. I don't know if I have enough content or enough ideas. I love creating content categories. So saying on Mondays, this is what our focus is going to be. On Wednesdays, this is what our focus is going to be. And on Fridays, this is what our focus is going to be. Because then it takes a little bit of that intimidation factor off. And when we're breaking up those posts, it's like, oh, well, I only need 4 posts about this category. And then 4 more about this. It just like takes, again, yeah, that intimidation factor, that overwhelm, the stress of planning out your content for the month. And so for Chatleys, for example, I noticed that on Mondays, they typically post about a new boat that's in the shop or something that just came in, a new Carolina skiff that someone could come in and purchase. And they post the details and yes, you should come in and buy this boat. But then on other days, it seems like they focus more on spotlighting current customers or people who have just recently purchased boats. And this kind of helps create that evangelist too, because it makes people feel special. So when my husband and I bought our boat, we were featured then on their Instagram page, and it said, Chatleys Marina would like to thank Hannah and Wesley Balliott for purchasing their new 20-foot Pioneer boat. And they took our picture when we were leaving the dealership with our boat. And they told us they were going to use it on social, asked us if it was okay, but it was fun to be able to see that, because then what did I do once that got shared? I shared it on my Instagram story. I tagged my family on it and said, hey, here's a picture of the new boat. We're so excited. Can't wait for you to come visit and get on the water with us. And so that's one of their categories. And it does a great job of doing what I just said, creating evangelists and furthering that relationship. But then to your point too, of new boat owners' questions, yes, another category for Chatleys, if they're not currently doing that, should be, here's some frequently asked questions about different boats. Hey, I want to head to the coast and I want to go, you know, offshore fishing, deep sea fishing. You know, what kind of boat should I have for that? Or, hey, my family and I just want to cruise. We want to tube and tow the kids. What kind of boat would be a best fit for me? Or what are some boats that are affordable, used boats in this, you know, certain price range? There's tons of educational content that could be created around that. And that could be one of our categories that we focus on. And you can change those up as you go month to month. You don't have to spotlight customers every single month, but maybe for the month of June, every single Friday, we're going to, you know, share a new recent customer and tell a little bit about their story and where they're from and what memories they're hoping to make on their boat this summer. You know, just fun stuff like that. The categories can be really, really helpful for taking that intimidation out of the content creation process.
Yes. And when you said a category, and now you've created a field where you can explore, as opposed to just, oh, I need something, but nothing comes if it's too vague.
Yes. And I always tell people, plan your content in advance too. It helps with the over curation that people can have. Like if you have 3 posts a week that you're planning on going out, you're like, whew, okay, I've got May taken care of, or I've got June taken care of. I don't have to worry about it. It's already pre-planned. It's scheduled. It's written. We have great photos or great videos. But then that also leaves some wiggle room for that, again, off the cuff, very organic content posting as well. You can still show up on your stories organically. You can still post on a Monday afternoon if your post was scheduled to go out on Monday morning, or you can wait until Tuesday and kind of fill in those blanks. I think it's just helpful to know that something's going out for our followers, right? We've intentionally thought about it. We've thought about moving people from stranger to friend to customer to evangelist. Our categories are speak to people who are in each of those different buckets. And I have things planned. I don't have to worry about it. That's the biggest part.
And for those who would like to know more about the services from Ugly Mug Marketing, they can find more information at the website, and we have that link in the description below. The person to talk to if you want to call Ugly Mug is Don Condell.
Yes.
He's the business development manager, and you can find that information below in that link. Hannah, before we wrap up, if you could talk to a small business owner who's competing in a competitive market, gee, isn't that everyone?
Yep.
And they're trying to get a handle on this social media. And so far, it's only been frustrating. If you could give them one, two, or three pieces of advice to better focus and generate some results, real results, more than just likes on social media, what might be that one, two, or three pieces of advice?
My number one piece of advice is always to set a goal. What outcome are you hoping for as a result of your efforts on social media? Because that will help you as you are generating content or as you are running ads on social, that will help you determine whether you're having success or not, or that will help you determine what types of content to create and to actually invest in advertising dollars. When small business owners are just getting started, your resources are so precious. And a lot of times people just think that's your financial resources, but it's also your time. So if I'm going to take the time to create a month-long content strategy to share on Facebook, LinkedIn, you know, Instagram, you know, whatever other platforms I decide I want to show up on, I need to be able to prove that those are going to be fruitful for me. And a little bit on the first month or first 2 or 3 months, sometimes it's going to be a little bit of trial and error. We might post content and we might see crickets and no results. And that feels frustrating and heavy. And I know I see it all the time. I work with people who are struggling with that, but you got to keep chugging along. And again, trying to figure out how to enter into that conversation while also finding ways to make the connection from a like or a comment or a share on Facebook and revenue in your business, right? And that can be the hardest connection that we make. So being able to track that person back to social media, some tools that help us do that is if we're an e-commerce website, having all of those functionalities turned on the back end of our Shopify or of our BigCommerce website so that we can track if someone came from Facebook or from Instagram, that can be a helpful way for us to be able to prove return on investment of the social media content or ad. Another thing that we can do is utilize lead generation ads on Facebook, which is something that I'm personally really passionate about. So that would be another tip, is if there's a way for you to utilize lead generation ads on Facebook, do that, because then you're actually capturing their name, their email address, their phone number potentially. And then we can say, okay, we captured that information. And now I can compare that and cross-check that with my actual customer list. So that person who inquired from Facebook, did they convert? Okay, cool. They did. They did convert into a paying customer. How much was that purchase worth? How can I get them to come back and purchase again? And then can I kind of track the lifetime value of that customer over the next 6 months, 9 months, a year, however long the cycle might be for your product or service that someone could return? I think that those two tips alone, setting a goal and then utilizing lead generation campaigns, can make the world of a difference when you are deciding to invest in social media. You might be feeling a little frustrated. You might be feeling like you want to give up on it, but do not give up. Like, that you can find that success. You can make those connections and bridge that gap between likes, comments, and shares, or maybe even crickets on social, and revenue in your business.
Valuable advice. My guest today is Hannah Acosta, reminding you to enter the conversation that's already taking place.
If you like what you heard, tell your friends. and post your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts because that helps more listeners find us. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.